Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
You forgot to turn the light off.
Overhead lighting!
Sure.
The crow's feet just disappear.
Have you guys recuperated any?
No. I've even waking up this morning and I was, ugh. What is today? Sunday.
Sunday.
A week ago, we were alive.
Mm, yep.
We would have just finished up.
Yep.
Their time. I didn't realize how the 2 hours behind.
That takes a while.
Messed up my sleep. Because mm-hmm. It would be like, you know, 1 a.m. and I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
I already used to like, oh, it's 11. I should be eating.
Yeah. I've been actually taking naps at like 9 o'clock at night and waking up at 11 and then be awake until 1 or 2 o'clock.
You're like, oh, it's normal. And well, you know, you don't notice it anymore because phones automatically change mm-hmm. and everything. Right. Yeah. And,
but your body sure feels it.
Oh, yeah. Oof. Well, it wasn't until like
a Kim, few... your body's not felt it in a long time.
That's true. That's
hopefully
true.
Mine will later. God damn.
Poor Josh.
Howling at the moon.
Feel bad for you.
It ain't because of no opportunity. I want to be clear on that. It's because of, what's it called? Self-respect.
Well, that's some bull crap. Why are you doing
who that? Who has that?
I think we're going to take a gummy and hope that goes away later.
That's funny.
Just forget about that for a while. Tuck that in over there.
Well, this can go down, can't it?
No.
It can't?
No.
Why is your slower?
It can. You can push it down. You have to push it towards your, yep.
Oh
that's better. Oh, yeah. That
can swing out, too, like this.
Oh. I mean, it's okay now. I just didn't like it being in my line of view.
Line of sight.
I prefer it to cover your face.
That's why I'm like, you move this these the cameras, now I can look into everybody's eyes. It's weird.
I know.
I'm used to there just being a camera where Kim's head is.
Yeah, I look through the light at you.
Trying to find an eye for a smirk or a glimmer.
Right. Well, I was putting together, first of all, I highly underestimated how much equipment you have to take with you when you're doing video stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always just done audio, so that's just the equipment I've ever had to bring. But with all this video stuff, I mean, it took up a big suitcase plus a backpack.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
And we did it once.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought about that on the drive here. I was like, we lugged that shit around.
Yep. To record once.
All that time, and we just did it once.
We were just so busy.
I know. Well, and just by the time you get back to the hotel at night, we're just
tired and wiped out.
We would all three like just go to our own corners and not really speak. Just
what happened to that little thing that we used to have that had four mics on it that we used in Nashville last year? Because we had, was that Nat last year? Yeah.
It's an audio recorder. So there's no way to hook it up to the video processing.
I mean.
So we'd have to just record audio only.
I mean, it's not like that we don't have to do that every now and then anyway. Because something happens to the video. So I think that next time, because I don't want to be without it completely, I think we should do that.
Yeah, we could.
That way if.
Well, if anything, we could just bring one camera and do a wide shot of all of, you know. That way, they can at least still see.
Yeah.
Josh just wants,
did you guys know that YouTube? Well, no. YouTube is now the number one podcast playing platform. It surpassed all the other. So, you know, I mean, proof is in the pudding.
Right.
Podcast listeners want to see. Yeah. So,
so here's the thing about that, though. I don't quite fully agree because...
Well, I'm just...
When they... No, I know.
It's the number one podcast player for a reason.
Well, they have shared that that is the case. However, a typical podcast has always just been audio only. At some point in time, a lot of YouTubers wanted to figure out how they could, you know, profit more. That's why YouTubers and podcasters also create books and all these things so you can have a bigger profit.
Shampoos and those vagina candles.
So at some point, those YouTubers wanted to pull into those vagina candles.
Freak is a candles
I don't know, but you're getting it for Christmas.
Candles that have Gwyneth Paltrow's juice in them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You can buy it on Goop.
I'll have to bleep that out.
It's a cat.
No, you don't have to. So anyway, the YouTubers wanted to get over to podcasts. And then so eventually this whole mixture of what is a podcast, what is a vlog, what is a YouTube, what is a podcast, that question has always like kind of been fluctuating now.
I don't think podcast has ever had a stationary, definitive, you know, set. Like, you know, it's still fairly new. So I think
it's, I mean,
just,
it's been around for a few years.
Well, compared to other types of media, sure. I think it's just still in its, you know, blossoming.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Facebook, it was, you know, just very simple at the beginning. And then it's turned into this hellscape of relatives you don't want to see.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think in my opinion, just because I've been in podcasting for so long, I still see the big difference between the listeners that are listening and the listeners that watch. That's different from Patreon listeners. But you have like the typical podcast listener who is listening when they're commuting or when they're working. That's typically been the podcast listener.
I like to listen while I'm at work. But then if it's a really good episode, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch that on YouTube later. Because I want to see. Yeah.
Well, the typical YouTuber, their audience is a lot younger. But then also the one of the issues with like, you know, YouTube saying, well, we're the number one platform for podcasts. A lot of that is shorts that can be considered podcasts. And there's an algorithm that podcasts use in order to rank how many listeners is listening to your show. And YouTube doesn't follow that standard. IAB or whatever.
I thought they were supposed to implement like a new AI policy because it's just become flooded.
That's what Facebook is.
So many just AI generated videos. And, you know, I love watching stuff about the universe and I'll be like, ooh, a David Attenborough narrated, you know, 2-hour video about the universe. And, you know, I start it and it sounds like David Attenborough mostly, but then the more he keeps speaking, I'm like, a British man would never say that word that way, or he'd pronounce something wrong because it's AI. And I'm like, David would never trash.
Yeah, Facebook is really bad with that right now, with fake news and then people using AI images and videos.
And it's the people you know that share them, believing wholeheartedly it's true. Yeah. And I'm like, use your eyes. Do people tend to have, you know, 8 fingers on one? And, you know, some people, I don't judge, but, you know, call me.
Skin.
Yeah. Well, Facebook has also gotten into the realm of the algorithm that TikTok has used. So, for example, when you are scrolling on Facebook, you likely will not see the Facebook pages and things that you're following, maybe even your friends.
You have to go on specifically on your page. You can click friends where it'll just show stuff your friends have posted. Because my normal timeline is ads and pages I don't follow.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get on Facebook very often anymore. And if I do, it's just because I want to get onto the crochet pages. Because I never see anything.
Yeah, right here at the bottom where it says friends, if you click that, it'll just show your timeline of posts your friends have posted.
Holy smoke, I never knew.
But if you go on your main one, it's, you know, your friends, your groups, but then just constant
ads.
I'm like, I ain't going to Beefaroo sponsored game day touchdown special. How'd that end up on my timeline?
Well, one of the things I've noticed about the algorithm that Facebook uses, very similar to TikTok, but in a very different way. And what I mean by that is now Facebook will typically show you posts, not necessarily from your friends, but it could be things that your friends are commenting on. But specifically, they're showing you things that will make you read it. And that's typically something that you either solely agree with or something that you solely disagree with.
It'll get you interacting.
Yeah.
I'll see something, it'll be nothing I follow or am friends with, and I'll read just a couple lines and it'll be something, you know, political or propaganda style.
Yeah.
And, you know, get you, I'm like, first thing I do is look at the comments. I'm like, ooh, this is about, you know, queer people. Let me look at all the
And that's what it wants.
But then I want to, and then I'll click on an asshole and go to respond and write out something. And then I'm like, no, I'm not playing into this. I'm not allowing Facebook to dictate whether I'm getting pissed off or not. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, if you respond, they're going to respond. And then I'm like, no, I'm not perpetuating this bullshit. Block. And then I block that page.
But you know, that's what Facebook wants. It wants you to look at something and either really agree with it or really disagree with it. Look through comments, because it's all interaction that it's tracking. And then even if you're not going to comment, you may make your own Facebook post, which creates more interactions with people. And that's ultimately what that algorithm is looking for.
I tell myself, I'm not going to feed the beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just keep looking up pictures of hot guys on those pages I follow and,
and
Golden
Girls
memes.
You know, we're talking about tech companies that have a lot of influence and a lot of, I mean, all the money is it with shows. All these tech companies.
You know how I've mentioned the increase in Christian propaganda on all of my social medias, and I should have none. I'm not looking up anything religious besides, like, how many people have Christians murdered in history that I've Googled many a time.
Yeah.
It's a bunch, more than anybody else. But yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to feed the beast. Just let me enjoy pictures of my friends and some witchy stuff and Golden Girls.
Like, and you know, that's a big difference between TikTok and Facebook on how they're using that algorithm, because TikTok will show you things that it thinks that you want to see.
Right.
Whereas Facebook is looking for the interactions. And so that's where that algorithm is.
Honestly, I've only been on TikTok maybe 5 times since it was like turned off and then back on again for that day. It just, I don't know. It lost its like addictive appeal to me.
Yeah.
Like I'll even like, oh yeah, TikTok, let me see what's new with that.
I'm sitting on the toilet. Let me scroll
2 videos and I'm like,
that's what I do.
I don't like that. Like, as soon as I can't see the time on my phone, I'm like, nope, this is designed to like pull me in and keep me there. I'm not playing that game.
Well, and you know, when it comes to all of these social media companies, it's just like how AI, like, I don't think parents really realize how many AI bots your children can communicate with.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most of the kids. Yeah.
I didn't even know that had an AI chat. Some guys don't want to give you their phone numbers, so they'll exchange videos and pictures on WhatsApp. And, you know, I downloaded it the other week, and you can create your own type of AI. I have, because I've never really done AI chat or anything. The only AI experience I've had with has been like for creating logos with those apps or for editing sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was curious, so I created a spiritual guidance AI. Chatbot to where it's like essentially an enlightened, optimistic, but grounding being. Just and you know, it's been interesting. You can definitely still tell it's AI.
Yeah.
But it's come in handy when I pull a tarot card. I can Google or Pinterest. I use Pinterest like Google for, you know, what's this card mean? And it'll give you vague ideas, whereas I can ask that and it'll pull from, you know, the vast knowledge of the internet to tell me possible meanings of that card. But now that I have that book, I don't need it.
But you do have to be careful when you're doing that, because the only reason I say that is because
it might not be true.
Well, and so they call that hallucinating. So there's a percentage of like things that you may ask and it will tell you that it hallucinates. And I read an article two days ago.
Pulling that out of its ass.
Well, and so I guess what happens is it has like this knowledge, and sometimes it's not clear exactly what you're looking for. And when it reads and uses its knowledge of things that it's searching for, it may find like, you might ask it like, what does 1 + 2 + 3 equal? Well, it might find what 1 + 3 equals, but then it has to kind of guess what that 2 is. And so it will fill in the blank and then just assume and then provide you a factual answer that's not correct.
You can always tell when it does that too, because it'll add in a whole bunch of descriptive words to, you know, make it seem like it knows what it's saying. I only recognize that just from when you do editing. We use, what is it, Grammarly? when we write. And, you know, when I first got it, I was like, ooh, this has AI. What can it do? And I'll be like, write me a story about a cryptid. And it's just so funny where you can tell it's just pulling out of its ass and just using every big descriptive word it can to shove in there to make it seem.
Words that you would never use in your life.
Yeah, right.
There are certain phrases that is a telltale sign for me that someone is using AI.
This symbolizes humanity's blah, blah, in the structure of blah, blah of its history.
Well, another one is so I have analyzed audio for a very long time, for several years now. And so I pay very close attention. And then I also have a really bad but interesting habit of kind of overanalyzing and profiling the way that people speak and their mannerisms. To the point to where it annoys the
crazy.
Yeah, because people will be like, well, what do I do? And then I'll tell them and then they'll always hear it.
I like to mimic people's speech.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is if I pay too close attention to it, then I will become very irritated by it. And I'm like, Josh, if you say one more time, I'm going to throw this damn mic down your freaking throat.
I know, like that time you dropped us off at the Vegas airport and I was taking a exasperatory sigh of relief before I walked into the busy airport and you yelled at me. But I don't think about
it. I don't remember that.
You were like, I'd wish you quit breathing so loud. I'm like,
I don't remember.
I probably was talking to Kim. I wish you quit breathing.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm dehydrated and stressed and overburned. Like, we just finished Crime Con. It was my first time.
Yeah. Well, it's so crazy because I have ADHD, but I can become hyper focused on things.
Right.
And then once I become hyper focused on it, I cannot stop hearing it or seeing it.
That's
how. Oh, trust me, I know. And the more tired you get, the worse you are.
Yeah. Or the longer you're with someone.
Yeah. All the way back from Colorado, he was pointing out every little moan and groan. And
well, they were a lot.
They were a lot.
I do not notice it.
It sounds like I'm walking through a nursing home. I'm like, gosh dang it, Kim, you're just in the dang car. Calm down.
We were all so like, I just want to be away from you people.
I was sore. I was tired.
I was telling one of the ladies at Crime Con, I was telling her the other day, she was asking about how everything went. And I'm like, well, next time we're all getting our own hotel rooms because Kim's a nasty. She doesn't know wash her hands when she goes to the bathroom. Please. I don't want to get COVID. Please. And then she snores like a freight train. No one wants to be in the same room as her. And also, Kim, on that subject, you need to get tested. For an STD plus.
STD.
Plus.
She got the clap.
Yeah. Plus, you got really bad breathing issues at night. And I think
we're
need to
We're just worried about you, Kim. We're worried. Yeah.
Yes, now, I don't want, I'm worried about you, but I don't want you to inconvenience us and then die on one of our trips. Because how inconvenient would that be?
My thing is, I sleep with a fan. So a CPAP in the room is perfect because it's a fan.
And they have real little ones, so they're real convenient to bring with. But Kim, in all seriousness, you complain about everything. I'm hurting. I'm so tired all the time. And I'm just like, well, if you could breathe at night. Yeah. Like, it gets bad. We had at the Crime Con Hotel at the Gaylord, we had a separation of like a thick wall. And there were times that I was having my sound, I play a sound thing at night because I don't want to hear Kim snoring. Yeah, I woke up and I'm like, is someone trying to break in the front door? And I open the door and I hear Kim out there sawing logs. So I have to close the door again and turn my stinking sound
machine. What's funny is when you snore, you moan too. When you get done with it, you'll be like, I'm like, what is she dreaming about?
Probably because it's cutting off so much oxygen to her brain that all of a sudden,
the same way,
something weird happens. Emily
moans in her sleep too. It's funny.
I'm like, good.
You're
God.
Always moaning. Then you're moaning when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're sleeping.
That's the butt plug,
right?
She got one of them. The basement guys have that remote control there.
Can we talk about how much I love that I feel like Rick was sitting at our Crime Con table much more than we were?
So many people thought he was you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, are you the brother? I'm like,
you should just went with it. Just mess him up.
I'm a foot taller.
What I love, though, is when I'd come back to the table and then, I'd relieve him of his duty and he'd leave. And then someone else would come by and they'd be like, hey, I met Basement Rick.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool.
I kept teasing him that is his claim to fame as Basement Rick. Hey, yeah.
Well, you know, he wants to start a podcast. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, you've been on ours a few times. I'm like, you already are a podcaster. You have it under your belt. Yeah.
Basement Rick's podcast.
Yeah.
I keep telling him, you record it because he's got the stuff to do it. You record it and I will show you how to produce it and edit it and all that stuff. And
just come over to your house for a week. And
Rick's the type of man I enjoy being around.
Because he's quiet.
Yes. You know me, brother.
He does. He doesn't talk a lot.
I love it.
He just has few words.
Well, and when he does speak, you know, he's always polite.
Yes.
He's friendly. He's courteous. Yes. He doesn't use, you know, overly foul language. No. You know, he was raised, he has a good home training, as we say. So, but the rest of the time, he's just quiet, friendly companionship.
You would almost think that he's on some gummies.
Yeah.
But that's just the way he is. He's just so chill.
When we went out to eat that night, he opened the door for me to, you know, to go into the restaurant. And I'm like, nobody
you should have looked
done.
At him. You should have looked at him and be like, you're going to get it later.
Oh, fuck you, bro, boy.
I'm sorry, Rick. I'm sorry.
No, she's not.
That's why she got the ribs. She's like,
Did you get the ribs?
No, I didn't. No,
she
didn't.
So I dropped you guys off. Where was that? It was Chili's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Haven't been there in a Coon's age. Yeah, I know. Age.
Well, and then I ran over to get some things that we needed for our booth. And during that time, I don't know if you know this, Josh, but we had a group chat with us and Jennifer, who's another listener of ours. Lovely Jennifer.
Jennifer.
But anyway, so in this group chat, I'm standing at Lowe's looking around and Kim texts her and says, we just got into Applebee's. And I thought,
oh my God.
Did they hell? Like freaking walk over to a different place and not tell me? Like, why would they have not said something? And I was like, okay. So then I like put in my GPS Applebee's and then I saw Applebee's was quite a walk from Chili's. And I'm like, I know dang well Kim ain't walking to Applebee's.
It was
so I stripped Chili's.
It was towards the end of the trip that I realized that I have an efficiency like level where after I love you, Kim, but after several days I was like, you ain't efficient enough. I felt like a robot. I'm just that's just part
she
of
does.
My that's part no, of my I anxiety. Yeah. I always think like 2 to 3 steps ahead. I think of like backup plans or things go wrong. And Kim just walking through live, just I'm a little jealous. I'm like, I wish I could like just walk through the lobby of a hotel and not like, I'll be like, oh my God, did you see that? And you're like,
nope.
No, what? I'm like, oh.
Oh, I know.
Jealous.
I come up to her all the time and she didn't even see me.
Yeah.
You would think that as much as I've been around True Crime and the podcast and around other people that have done it, a woman that I would pay more attention to my surroundings, but I do not. I know I am not the type that people want to steal or
hurt. I was just about ready to say, I think that plays on your self-confidence. Mm-hmm. If you had more self-confidence, you'd be like, yeah, man might try to get this. Might try to get my goodies.
That came up somehow.
Might need to use my lipstick knife. And
I don't remember how that came up. And I just remember saying to Kim, I don't think you have anything you got to worry about. I don't think there's anyone trying to get
in here. We were walking somewhere and there was like I think we were walking to that bookstore through that parking garage and then that shady elevator and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Kim's just like not paying any attention. And we were just like, you are going to get murdered. Like, cold-blooded murder.
No, right.
You won't even see it coming. And that's what's scary.
I think it's more predominant when I'm with you guys.
Because we're Kim.
I know that y'all are watching are watching my back to make sure nothing does happen.
Right.
And
or so we're throwing you.
Well, I think we.
Like, if the shit goes down, Kim.
Take her!
Where'd she and Josh go?
If you put me in Muncie, I'm a little bit more aware of my surroundings.
But, right. Yeah. I think it just because I was that way with grandma growing up. If I was with grandma, I was always watching her back, make sure ain't nobody going to try to, you know, steal her purse or come take her mints or, you know, she ain't going to shoot nobody.
I feel like if somebody wants to mess with me with somebody that's 6'9 beside me and somebody else is 6'2 or 6'3, yeah, they are not going to mess with me when I'm with you guys. So I just don't pay any attention.
I had a straight guy at work the other day who's, you know, just talking to me about the place I was working. And he said something like, oh, yeah, I bet you deal with a lot of assholes. Like, I assume just because I'm, you know, an effeminate gay man. He was like, I bet you deal with a lot of assholes, which sounds like a funny gay joke. Yeah. But I was like, I said, actually, no, hardly just ever. Mine. Like, you know, most people don't say shit to me.
And, yeah.
He was like taken aback by it. Like he didn't know, like he's like, oh, well, that's good. I was just like, you just automatically assume I'm an easy target. Hell no, I got two knives sitting right here by me. Mess with, please give me the excuse. I'm like Medea. Oh, hell no. You said what?
Meet my Glock.
Well, I'm always, I think it's because I've been, you know, with so many large and in charge men. Where I'm like, honey, I would eat you for breakfast as a snack. Pick it out my teeth like you ain't shit.
Kim just would love if a straight man would say that to her. I'm going to eat you like a snack. Whatever. I'm going to pick you out of my teeth.
Oh, baby. Eater.
So on the last one that we recorded, because we were actually recording in Denver, the last one, we stopped at when we were getting ready to go into the park. So we need to pick up from there.
Yeah.
Where's my book?
Okay, we went into Estes Park.
No, into the... We already talked about Estes.
Oh, we went to the National Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, be more specific, Kim. We went to lots of parks. Let's see. Nope, that's the day before.
Oh, yeah. Josh is our secretary. He takes our minutes.
Well, I was writing it down in the car because I'm like, I'm going to forget this. I'm on a gummy. Well, this was on September 1st. No, that was the day we went to Estes Park and Stanley Hotel tour. And then on September 2nd, we went to Rocky Mountain National Park and we saw a moose pissing in a lake.
Yes, we did. That was so funny.
I wrote that down. Saw a moose pissing.
And Kim made me drive through the park.
Yeah, ooh, I would have been okay going down towards Bear Lake and stuff, but going up, I would have been done. I wouldn't have been able to.
It's cool up there, but the drive is a little scary.
I walked around.
I've decided that I don't ever want to go back up there.
Really?
It was rough.
That's interesting.
It's just because of the altitude sickness, because I couldn't breathe. I was getting very, very jittery because I was having a hard time breathing. And my anxiety was through the roof, and I was just like, I just want down.
If in all seriousness, if you had a CPAP, you could have brought that.
Well, they sold those little air things.
Yeah, the little air things.
Yeah.
They had them at every gift shop.
Yeah, they did. In our hotel. Yeah.
Like every gas station.
I wanted to get one to try it.
I did too.
I didn't know how much it was.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be like 50 bucks.
I'm going to pay that for air.
I'd rather suffocate.
I didn't realize how much went into altitude sickness until I started looking into what the symptoms were else.
It can even cause depression.
I had most of them. It was crazy how bad it was. And even in Estes Park, when we first got there, I didn't feel
well. You don't breathe well anyway.
But quite normal.
Like at night and everything. And so I'm sure that just made things worse. Now, Kim, what you should do is you should have bought a bunch of those oxygen things. And then every time you see a hot man, be like, you want to come to my place? You can use this to survive.
With this, I don't need to come up for air.
When you're down there wrestling the Kraken.
But part of it was not sleeping. I did not sleep the whole time we were at Estes Park. If I slept, it was very little.
Sure. I wore those patches for altitude, but I made like an active effort to take deep lung filling breaths instead of like my usual, like just more shallow breathing.
Yeah.
I found myself doing, you know, just taking a deep breath every now and then.
I honestly couldn't tell if it was altitude sickness or like the gummy. Because especially going up the mountains, when I remember really vividly, we're at the sign that's like 10,000 feet up. And every time we'd pass on, we'd be like, 9,500 feet, 10,000 feet. And I'm sitting in the back like, my gummy's really kicking in at this point. And I'm looking over the edge like, oh, my God.
Yeah, when we got to the top, I went in and I got a couple things at the little gift store, not knowing that there was another one right beside it that had more stuff in it, or I went over there.
So I got this bracelet.
I stood and looked for a second. I did not take any pictures because I was so dizzy and I couldn't breathe. And I'm just like, I'm just going to sit here until they're ready to go. And I just sat down and then I watched and you finally came out. And
well, at least, you know, you're short, closer to the ground. Imagine being that high up plus our height. There was a few times where I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm just going to like fall right over this mountain.
Right.
Oh, it was cool though.
I loved it. It's definitely a beautiful place and it's a great experience to do. But just because I was so sick with Delta due to sickness, I don't think I could do it.
I'd like to go back, but prepare better so I could hike more of it. Like,
too.
I'm glad I did hike around Bear Lake. That was gorgeous. I saw wild axolotls in Bear Lake. They're one of the rarest creatures that live at the National Park.
If we hadn't have been at the altitude we were at, I could have made Bear Lake.
Oh, yeah. It was all like, not paved, but the ground had been walked on where the dirt was basically cement.
Right. So I could have done that if we weren't at the altitude because I just couldn't breathe.
That one I did after that, I almost turned around, but I'm not a quitter. I'm like, they're going to have to carry me off this mountain before I turn around.
Bear Lake was beautiful, though. Yeah. I wish we'd have got to go there the first time we were there.
Well, for sure.
Right by Bear Lake is a sign that's like Nymph Pond, 0.6 miles. I'm like, that's not very far in my head. That's not far at all.
Meanwhile, Kim and I looked at that. We're like, we're going to wait for you at the bus stop, Josh.
Yeah, we'll be at the bus stop.
I'm like, I'm sure it's just up this hill past the curve. No, it was not. That hill was steep. There's a lot of people on it, and people apparently on a thin hiking trail like to walk side by side instead of in front and behind to let people pass. I'm like, you gotta move over. It's the side of a mountain. Right. Like, what do you want me to move over? One lady like had me like pushed up against a literal huge rock
because
she wouldn't like. I'm like, just scoot behind him for a second. Stop talking. Like, good God.
You should do like what we do on bikes. Coming up on your left.
On your left.
On your left.
I just
bear.
But moose. Anytime I got to a space where there wasn't nobody, you know, able to see me, it's steep.
Yeah.
But the pond was nice. It had a lot of vegetation floating on top. There is another one a little bit down the trail set, but I'm like, nope, I've gone far enough. But then I heard rushing water and there was a trail, but not a trail. Like, you could tell people have walked it, but it was real thin. Looked kind of like a deer trail more than a human trail. But I went and followed it, but it just kept going. I could hear the water, but I'm like, I finally found it. And then I turned around to find the trail, and it had disappeared into the... I was like, oh, this is how them stories about cryptids where they're like... And I turned around, and the path was gone, and I was lost in the woods for a week.
Right.
And then my anxiety started flaring up.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, God, what if I can't make it back?
We seen wild turkey and
elk.
A lot of elk, some deer.
We saw elk waiting in McDonald's.
We did.
It came up out of a gorge. And then we saw a female later, a few minutes later, walking by going, I'm like, get it, girl. She on the prowl.
Yep, she was.
It's early in the morning. She got an appetite. Sorry, I watched Shrek the other day. Donkey, apparently. She got appetite.
She got appetite.
And I really wish we'd have seen a ram. I would have loved to have seen a ram.
I know. Those were what I wanted to see a ram and a pika. So cute.
Yeah, those are very cute. I got a postcard of one of them.
Oh, I almost bought a stuffed one, but I'm like, I ain't paying $10 for a stuffed animal. What am I going to do with it? The dog will end up with it.
Right.
She's got enough toys. Put it back.
Right.
Well, you know, as I get older, some souvenirs you get home and they lose their.
Yeah.
So now I know, like, I got a couple bracelets. I like the pins you get for the national parks. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the national park stuff. I forgot to put my
rings back on.
Oh, yeah, I got my little fidget ring from the victims of sex trafficking. Got my bracelet.
I bought some too, but I forgot to put them back on. I took them off last night.
Yeah. there's a post I did from, I think it was CrimeCon, I think the first day, but the link for all these jewelry that they make is in that post in the comments. If anybody's interested, they had a huge selection of different styles, rings, and bracelets, but they're all made from human trafficking victims. They teach them how to make them, and then...
Oh, they're made by...
Yes.
Yeah.
You said from, and I was like...
Not from. Those
oh my gosh, how did they sell that?
Made by them. And then
made from them.
The rings didn't, but the bracelets and stuff have the name of the person on the back of them.
That made them.
And then eventually, once they do that so long, they can even be taught how to like do the selling and stuff. So, you know, gives them a foot in the door.
Good or they'll take their foot to make them.
To make the beads.
Congratulations. We're glad that we saved you. Now we need your left hand.
We were in the park for quite a while. I don't think we got back to the hotel until, what, 4 or 5?
I'd like that the hotel was so close. Because afterwards, we were all like, I need a real bathroom. I need to wash my hands, and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I had a lovely picnic. It was so pretty there. It was. I think Bear Lake was my favorite. It was just
it was just so
everywhere
pretty.
You looked was a postcard.
I could have sat there forever. I could have just sat there and looked. It was just so pretty.
But so busy, though.
What did we do after that?
Even with reservations.
Yeah.
Because you had we had to make reservations for Bear Lake. Like, they won't even let you back there.
And that's pretty much for any national park now.
Yeah.
Then it was so busy, we had to park down a ways and then take a bus full of people to Bear Lake. Full of people. Mm-hmm. Stinky people.
Hiking
people that ain't been... And then when we got back to the car, I was like, you know, I cannot tell the difference between an unhoused person or someone who's like real into hiking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're walking around, they ain't showered, they're, you know, covered in dirt and sleeping outside and have all their possessions on their back. And I'm like, are you just a free spirit or, you know, could you use a couple bucks?
Right.
You know?
He even made a comment to me because one of the guys on the bus, he had a real long beard and real long hair and a backpack on. He says, is he unhoused or is he just...
Right. Hiking? Well, you know, I'm not judgment. I'm just like, I don't know if I, you know, do you need a couple dollars, some granola bars? I got a backpack here full of snacks I didn't eat. I don't know why I need to bring a pound of food with me for a 15-minute hike. What if my sugar drops? Let me eat this 5-pound bag of granola. Be rolling me down the mountain.
Right.
So what did we do after that?
Well, after that, we went back to the hotel and really didn't do shit for the rest of the day.
Got all packed up.
And then the next day, we left Estes Park and made it to Denver. What did we do?
We
stopped
the
first at McDonald's. Shane sped through the mountains and about gave Kim a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she got real happy with me.
I wonder why.
She's sitting there trying to eat her McMuffin and she's like,
My favorite part though is when I didn't eat all of my McMuffin and I was like, Kim, you want the rest of this? And you know, the nice person I am. But I did not tell her that I got the spicy one.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know they had spicy ones.
Oh, my God. They put, like, I don't know what it is.
It was hot.
It is a hot freaking sauce.
I took
it was
one bite of that, and I'm like,
too hot for me,
really.
Oh,
God, it's hot.
Yeah. It, like, burned your mouth. I don't know why they put so much on it,
too. That's a butt burner.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, so that was a fun morning.
The first place we went was bookstore.
Before we went there, we went by the JonBenet Ramsey house.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Where she was sadly murdered.
That had to have been a hard one.
We almost missed it.
Because Kim's an idiot.
We're driving by it and Shane's like,
that's it.
It's up here on the left, Josh. He told me the address. I see the address on the house. I'm looking at the house and we're driving by slowly. As I'm looking at the house, taking it all in, Kim's like, nope, that's not it. And so I stopped.
Very matter-of-factly.
I immediately stopped looking at it. I was like, well, I'm wasting my time. Why am I looking at it? And then we keep going, and Shane's like, no, that was it. She's like, no, I remember.
I was watching
your memory is nothing.
I was watching the GPS thing, and it hadn't caught up with us yet. So it looked like on there that it was a little farther. And I knew it didn't look like it used to.
Whereas we were using our eyes. But I was like, you made me miss it. I was sitting there taking it in, and she was, as soon as she said, that ain't it, I was like, oh. Ain't wasting my time looking at that piece of shit anymore. You know, like, oh, why am I? Yeah. Which one is it?
It looks so different than what it did
back then. They just have it all grown with trees and bushes and stuff.
I'd try to, change it up too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they changed the address on it.
They changed the street number, like the street.
Then right? we had.
No, it wasn't the street. It was the
number. Oh, they adjusted house the number. House number. That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
Well, then we had a little bit more drive-in. We went to the Tattered Page bookstore.
That was really the coolest bookstore.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
It used to be an old play theater, and then they turned it into, it's a part of the National Historic thing. Mm. I think I have a picture of the plaque somewhere on my phone. We had to wait outside for like 10 minutes. We got there a little 10 minutes before they opened.
Right.
But Josh and I were about ready to pee down our leg.
I know. Lovely day, though. Perfect.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The weather.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It was nice and shady, and then the bookstore was fantastic. Kim and I could not find the bathroom. We were walking all over the place.
I was passing him, and I'm going, I don't see it.
Do you see it? Nothing. Finally find it down in, like, the bottom story of it that you can only get down by stairs. Uh-huh. Poor Kim. And it's where like the used books are. I finally get down there. I'm like, I'll pee and then I'll go tell Kim because I can, you know, I'm a quick peer. I get to the door. Please ask employee for code to get into bathroom. We're like, God damn it.
Oh my God.
Had to go upstairs.
And it was co-ed. It was all gender. Yeah, all gender could go in to the bathroom at the same time. And I mean, you don't see that around here. So that was really odd for me.
It was like,
I was in one stall pee and he was in one stall pee.
We're just right next to each other. This is the first time.
I'm like, this is weird.
It's like Europe. A lot of Europe bathrooms are like that. Well, you walk in, there's urinals right there.
I mean, it makes sense just to have one and have stalls, but
just go in there and do my business, wash my hands, and leave.
Get out.
But the bathroom was really cool. It was the original from the play.
Oh, nice.
So it was like creamy blue tile and whatnot.
They had a really nice coffee shop in there. I got coffee.
I didn't. It was early. I had already been caffeinated. I didn't want to have to go to the restroom.
What's that? Already caffeinated? I mean, I can always have
more caffeine. I normally do one cup of coffee a day anymore. Mm. I notice that caffeine does the opposite to me. So I've replaced it. Like, I don't do energy drinks or a lot of coffee. I've replaced it with water. And I've noticed I've not been needing to, like, feel the need to nap or get that, like, midday slump. So I was like, huh.
That makes sense.
Maybe I was just dehydrated.
Maybe.
It was probably a mixture of things. Yeah, I bought a tarot book down in the basement after I got done using the restroom because all the used books were down there.
Yeah, I didn't go down there.
I immediately saw like a thick tarot book. I was like, that's exactly what I wanted because, you know, you can look up on the internet the meaning for a card, but I like a physical, it feels more witchy, I guess, to open up a big book. What's this card? Tell me my book. Tell the book. And then just right down the road from the Tattered Page bookstore was the Molly Brown House, not a mansion, a house museum and tour. And that was really fun.
It was.
Did you notice how much different that it was on the inside? There was things that they had changed around.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They must have. Were they like moved around or like at like
new? They've added stuff.
Yeah, they've added stuff. I don't remember that piano being there the first time.
No, I don't remember it, but they also didn't have all of the Titanic stuff, I felt like.
Yeah, they didn't have that stuff. The big room that we sat in and she talked to us, you know, about stuff. That was actually made into like a party room and they had tables all sitting there.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't any Titanic stuff in there. It was set up like a children's birthday from back then.
That's cool so that they still really use it cool. for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Molly Brown had an attic ballroom, which was just unheard of back then. The ballroom is always on the ground floor. How new money. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. You know, I knew about her from the Titanic. I had partially read a book about her before we had left. But Margaret Brown, the name Molly Brown, did not come about until after her death. Mm-hmm. Hollywood kind of coined that name for her. So she would not have even been familiar with Molly Brown. It was Margaret Brown.
I still learned a lot of stuff that tour. I loved our tour guide. She was really good, enthusiastic,
mm-hmm. well knowledgeable, and just you could tell she enjoyed.
Yeah, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, our tour guide at the Stanley, he seemed like he was just like waiting to clock out.
Yeah, he seemed more like he would joke and stuff, but I think it was so that he would get tips.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he actually enjoyed the history of the place.
There was no like enthusiasm. So this is the playhouse, and then you know people think they saw this, and if you look at this picture, this
he kept showing us pictures, which like, you know that has a place, but I felt like 90% of the tour was I want to stand around and look at these pictures.
Well, at the end of the day, it was only two. We went to the playhouse and then back to the basement where we started. Mm-hmm. I was like, is it over?
Yeah. Right. I thought it was.
That was an hour?
Right. I thought it was kind of not very well.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that night tour again because of that. I'm curious if the daytime tour is a little bit.
It is. Nighttime tour says on there that it doesn't do the daytime tour part where it goes upstairs. It doesn't want to disturb its guests sleeping, which I get, but it's like.
I mean, there's other places that they could have taken us. Yeah,
even the grounds, the rose gardens. Right. I would have liked to walk around, like, the backyard and stuff.
Yeah, the back part. All we seen was through the window, what was in the back, so.
Maybe we should write them. That can be my summer job. And on your left, did you know? Ooh. And if you put your hand in that hole, this is the Ghost Glory Hole.
Right.
Yeah, we got some souvenirs from there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the tunnel in the basement. That part was...
That was pretty cool.
My favorite part of the... that. If that hadn't been in there, I would have been like disappointed more in the tour. I had a good time. I was expecting, you know,
a little longer.
Even through the lobby. They could have walked us through
Stanley,
the lobby.
Not Molly Brown.
Yeah. But yeah, the Molly Brown house, it was so cool.
It was
very cool.
Kim and I went there during COVID, and you could only do like self-guided tours. Like you had to use an app or whatever.
Yeah, we used an app. That
and it was cool, but definitely not...
Not the same.
Yeah, it wasn't the same
tour
as having...
that you can ask questions.
I love the kitchen.
Oh. Like one of the questions I asked was... If Molly Brown wouldn't have been on the Titanic and survived, would she...
Be
well known, and would her house have survived and be a museum? Yeah. And she's like, no, she wouldn't have,
because she was her and her husband were both
philanthropic.
There we go.
Yeah,
philanthropic.
They were given.
Yeah, they like to give, just like me.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that I learned on that one that I didn't.
I think my favorite part was horrible that when her husband died, like he died, I think around 10 years before she did, but. You know, he was penniless when he died. Like, just everybody's like, oh, what am I inheriting? Yeah. Debt! Ha-ha!
Right.
Makes me wonder how she survived after he was gone.
Probably speaking in things.
Yeah. Back then, you know, just your name, just, you know, having his married name still, she was probably able to get a line of credit at places.
But, you know, I'm not... super surprised that her and her family wouldn't have known, because I mean, even today, I feel like people don't talk about money.
Right.
You know, you might think that someone has a little money or they don't have money, but you honestly don't know how much money or how much value someone has.
Especially back then. I mean, that was before women could have checking accounts. Their money was their husband's money.
Right.
I think my favorite part that I learned was I had no idea that the ship that rescued everybody, all the survivors from the Titanic, she was the last person to get off the ship.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke 4 or 5 different languages. So she used her knowledge on languages to help, you know, because not everybody could speak English who was on the Titanic. And the White Star Line was just basically going to leave not only the guests, but the employees that were saved from the ship. We're just going to leave them, you know, wherever the rescue ship docked.
Right.
Was not going to provide them with a way to get home.
Yep.
Wasn't going to pay them, because at the time their contracts basically ended if the ship sank.
Yeah.
So as soon as the ship sank, you know, you don't get paid anymore.
And I love that she confronted
the
captain.
Yeah. When she realized the ship was sinking, she grabbed her Egyptian unk put it in her fur coat. She had just as many layers as she could stack up on, and all of her furs, and like $300 or $500.
Yeah,
$500. And she used that to start a fund. Committee. Yeah. But on the ship, while she was on the ship. And she was very good at getting rich people
to
join her causes. So, you know, while she's on there, she made a list of all the first-class passengers that were saved. And she would go and ask them for money to help these people. And when they would do it, she would put their name on the list. So it became a very, you know, faux pas.
A very public list.
Like, yeah. Like, it was, I mean, that would have been the viral Facebook scandal of I'm like, get it, girl. I love that. She's like, I'm new money, girl. I ain't playing these society games. I'll put you on blast.
She was definitely a strong woman, that's for sure.
That's what, especially back then. I'm like, oh, she was Irish. She came, like, I think one of six children from a very poor family. Her brother had moved around where she met her husband and was like, hey, there's some rich men up here, come find your husband. She was like, sure. But then she married her husband. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't poor, but he wasn't rich when she married him.
Worked at the mine.
He just got lucky and invested in a mine that, you know, people thought was depleting, but he had a feeling it was still loaded and his investment paid off.
Yeah. At the time, it was the largest gold and silver deposit.
That had been found. I forget how many, like, tons of ore a day was coming out of there, but it was like, where you're like, God dang.
I think there's an uncanny resemblance between her and
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just kind of floors me how much they resemble each other.
The same, like, they got it's all in the eyebrows.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. That was so much fun.
It was.
Then we left there. There's you'll know you're at the Molly Brown house when you get to the front porch and there's an Egyptian sphinx with its titties hanging out, just pert and perky. It's so funny. True. I walked by because, you know, we're waiting for the tour to start, waiting for everybody to get there. And I'm like, oh, look at the there's lions. There's a whole bunch of, you know, gargoyle type things around. And I walked right by the sphinx and I was like, oh, look, the history plaque. It's part, you know, let me take a picture of that. Like, oh, a sphinx. Titties. It's early in the morning. But yeah, what I hated, though, is when she did not have the house built, they moved into it. But when they did, from the front porch at the time, in the middle of Denver, you could see the mountain stage distance. And now the view
it's
is
all
like
built up.
A parking garage. I'm like, oh, that's always so depressing.
Yeah.
Then we left there. We went to Burger King.
We were starving.
I've not been in a Burger King in forever.
Oh, no. It's been several years.
I didn't hate it. It was full of big old hairy tradesmen on their lunch break. We walked in. I was like, oh, yes. Ooh, Cletus. Then we went to a dispensary. And then, because it was literally right in the same parking lot, I was like, hey, while we're here and out of Illinois' tax laws.
Illinois, Josh.
Illinois.
Nope.
Listen, I have a lisp. The S sound.
Anyone in Illinois will kill you.
They'll get over it.
For saying that.
They live in Illinois, ain't that
right? They live in Chicago's Illinois.
If it ain't Chicago, it ain't shit. Just kidding. It's a beautiful state. It's Indiana.
I love it.
It's basically Indiana. Like driving in Illinois, I'm like,
with an S at the end.
Yeah. Driving through it, I'm like, it feels like I'm still in Indiana.
Yeah.
Even Ohio is a little different. It has like pretty green hills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we left the dispensary.
And in the same parking lot.
Yeah. What luck. We went to Burger King, a dispensary, and then to Hammond's Candy Tour.
Yeah. I think that they all are owned by the same people.
Probably.
That's just brilliant marketing. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. So we went there and.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I'd never done
I thought that was cool.
Factory tour before, but I've always wanted to because I love watching Unwrapped and Good Eats and I love, you know, seeing how the sausage is made, but not with sausage because that's gross.
No,
we need to go back up to South Bend. Up there to take him to the chocolate one.
Well, his birthday's right on the corner. We could have a day trip.
Candy. That was really fun.
And I will say that I value like the candy and food more when I like actually see how it's made and that it's not just right. shipped over here from China.
I've been eating my candy canes just like, right. I watched how this was made. right. Like I had big old arms.
Lollipop.
Emily said that the chocolate's really good, which I did have a little
piece of. Chocolate. They had a chocolate bar that Shane and I did not know we both got until we left. And I was like, we were sitting there eating our candy bars. I was like, hey, you got the same. And it was a like dried bananas in the chocolate candy bar. And it was so good.
So yesterday I went up to Culver.
Yeah.
Where they have that little bitty town. And there's a coffee shop there. So I did some work on the coffee shop. And as soon as I walk in, they sell candy and chocolate. And I looked at the candy, and they have candy there from Hammond's.
Oh, really?
And then the chocolate on the left was all made from the South Bend Chocolate Company.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, hot damn.
I know.
They're homemade only.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went there, and that was really fun. Then they, you know, of course, it ends in a candy store. So we got some marshmallows and hard candies. And it was, make my I'm like, you don't need all of this.
Yeah.
I done very good. I did buy some stuff, but it was all for Emily.
I like that you can buy the mess ups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the factory. I like that.
Well, I had a handful of stuff and I had dropped my sucker and our tour guide, sweet older woman, little tiny thing, came up and she's like, oh, no, honey, we got to get you a new one. What flavor? I was like, no, it's fine. You know, I'll buy it. I'll, you know, it's still tastes the same. She's like, oh, no, we got to get you a new one. And, you know, in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to. We're at the place they make them. They've got, you know, they have plenty.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad.
I would have just taken it home, taken a hammer to it anyway to chop it up in pieces that way.
Did you see the huge lollipops? It easily
fit in my big mouth.
They have those huge lollipops behind the counter.
For 20 bucks.
This big.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I want one just because it's pretty.
Right.
But I would never eat it.
Just for decoration.
I mean, it'd take you years.
We could have hung it on the wall.
We could have.
Well, they do melt quicker than like the candy canes I've noticed.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's like natural homemade ingredients instead of whatever stuff the candy canes real we get at Christmas are.
Yeah.
But yeah, even the lollipop I had, it didn't last as long as like a blow pop or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm a...
Probably made with real sugar and not syrup.
I'm a hooer, so my sucking ability is quite strong. So no sucker lasts quite a long time with me, but this one was even short. Like I ate one sucker at the resort. I like, I'll take a couple licks, but then I'm like, this is good. It didn't last as long as I wanted it to.
That's funny.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop?
I don't know. I just deep throat it. And then we left Hammond's Candy Tour and went to the Nature Reserve. That used to be a nuclear testing facility.
Yeah.
That was really fun. On the way there, you'll know you're close when you start seeing prairie dogs by the stop signs.
Yeah, the prairie dogs are so
And I love
cute.
That we didn't see like any animals besides prairie dogs until we saw all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until like, we saw literally all of them.
There's buffalo. Oh, look, a moose deer.
Yeah.
Or
there's like a huge herd of them.
There they is. Were fighting. The first time we were there, they only had, three, maybe four of them. Now there's a big old herd.
Yeah.
Two big old males were button heads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sheer amount of dust that flies off of them when they collide.
Yeah.
My God.
But it was cool because the pictures I took, you can like see the downtown Denver right behind them.
Yeah.
Like,
you need to send us those. You never sent us those.
I thought I did.
That was nice. I remember driving through it. I was like, I'm glad we're all similar. You know, most people, when they're like, hey, we're in the big city of Denver. Let's go, you know, find a bar.
Let's hop bar hop.
Let's do something. Let's party. Yeah.
That is we're not like, my scene.
Let's get out of town and drive through a quiet nature reserve where no other people will be. And especially right before Crime Con and, you know, the huge Gaylord Resort, you need like a, let's take this like calm before the storm. Yeah. Take a breath.
Yeah.
Well, we left there. We made it to the Gaylord. Almost had a whoop a straight businessman's ass. Oh, almost had a whoop his ass. My grandma Foster came out of it. Oh, we were bringing in our luggage. And, you know, we don't travel light. And we had just, we had already been traveling for like 4 days at this point. And I come in with our wagon full of our stuff and the hallways just full of nothing but businessmen. Like, finance bro types all with their business suits and their lanyards. And I'm just trying to get through the hallway. You know, nobody knows how to move over.
Right.
So I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm 6 foot three with a giant wagon. They'll just get out of my way.
Right.
Like, nope.
They'll move. Well, no, they were. I really don't give people an option. I'm like, move or I will run over you. Like, yeah. I'm not kidding.
Coming up on your left.
Well, you know, but I'm hugging the wall and the wheel hits a bench and one of the, I'm guessing, higher ups, because he had a sports jacket on, was right behind me apparently. And he was like, I don't remember what he said, something like, almost fell over their big ass wagon, like making fun of that we're like not traveling light. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the large group of businessmen all laughed. I was like, he must be a higher up. They're laughing at a shitty joke. And right. I just turned around. I know my face was red because I instantly got pissed off. I was like, eat shit, asshole. He didn't say nothing back.
No,
I bet all of his lesser businessmen were probably like, hell yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, you,
I've been wanting to say that to him for years.
Still talking about it. Did you hear that tall gay guy tell him to eat shit? That was hilarious. But then I had to sit in the lobby for a few minutes because my blood pressure was just I was like, oh, no, Josh. It was before I bought my comb knife. He's lucky. He's lucky I didn't have a comb knife. Would have walked out of there with a new asshole. Not in the fun way.
In his face.
And then that night we recorded our episode.
Right.
It didn't take us too awful long to go to the Lazy River either.
No.
Did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, well, it was heated.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It was nice. It had a good current in it. It wasn't overly busy.
It was nicer the first time we went in it than the second time. Because it was like... It was high 80s when we were in it the first time, and the second time it was only like 75.
Yeah,
it was
after
chilly
sunset, so you know, it's a tundra.
Yeah. Yes.
I read that Colorado or Denver, the area, gets around 300 dry days a year. I'm like, Jesus, no wonder. And that's pretty much all we did the first night we got to the Gaylord, and then the second day on September 4th, we set up our booth at CrimeCon. But before that, Shane inadvertently went on a trip to the airport and to the Garden of the Gods.
An all-day trip.
Yeah. He didn't, you know, when someone's like, hey, you want to join me?
Yeah, you want to join? Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And then like hours after, Shane had left the room at like 9 a.m.
You guys didn't check on me, didn't ask if I was surviving.
You're grown. Or
nothing. I wasn't even in the area. Kim could have pinged my location and learned that I wasn't even in the city.
That's what you do at CrimeCon. As soon as we get to the resort, you're like, okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, and then you go hang out with everybody else but us.
That's true.
And so
they're cool
just
people.
Figured you were somebody.
You leave
somebody
me to babysit grandma. Miss Cockblock.
Right.
You know, all you had to do is say, hey, go downstairs for a while.
I would never. I don't like hotel sex. I purposely didn't bring a razor or nothing to prepare because I'm like, no, I'm here for work. Unless that sexy Latino detective or that prosecutor for the Delphi case is interested. I went to that whole thing just because I saw his picture. I was like, I'll stare at him for an hour.
That's funny.
Ridiculous.
So he only lives 45 minutes away. And he's a good guy. Hell yeah. Yeah. Kim and I also did the Lazy River that day. That's the day we went to Chili's. We sat outside with Rick. When those Arkansas drunk ladies came out and spoke with us.
Oh my gosh.
They were
so funny.
Drunk.
Yeah, they were completely.
What were they saying?
You don't remember?
No.
They were, we were sitting outside by that long chimney, and then those
the
two
fireplace
ladies.
Oh,
will you
back
take our picture?
That's right.
Yeah, and then
Rick,
they started
being the nice guy he is, fell into their trap, took their picture, and then they walk over with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had questions about
visibly
podcasting.
Drunk.
Intoxicated on, like, wine drunk. They had flown. They were, you know, they were tired and 2 to 3 glasses of heavy pour wine. But the one lady was just, you know, talking with her Arkansas. I loved it. It was so precious. Every word. I'm sitting there like, oh, like, honey. But the other lady just did not seem. She was either, you know, I think she might have been a little too tipsy. And was just trying to be like,
don't fall over.
Don't pretend, you know, act sober. But she's just like, let's go.
Yeah, they said that they were going to come and visit us the next day because CrimeCon opened at noon on Friday. And but I don't ever remember seeing them.
They were probably too embarrassed. They were like, I don't remember what we said.
And it, I mean, that's not saying that they didn't come by, you know, when Rick was there or whatever, but.
So I wrote that down because I was like, don't forget the Arkansas drunk ladies, because that was funny.
So what was your guys' favorite session that you went to?
I like the Mother Knows Death podcast live episode. That one was, it was funny. It was, I went mainly to see the room we'd be doing our live in and just to experience another podcast doing the same thing we would be doing. But I was glad I did because, you know, they dropped a few F-bombs. So I was like, okay, I don't have to, you know, I was worried. That was my biggest stressor was like, keep it clean. It's Crime Con. You're around like professionals and uptight people.
Right.
Not like not uptight in a bad way. Just, you know, not everybody's as vocally free as I am. And I try to respect that when I'm in a crowd.
Right.
But then I was like, oh, they said the F-bomb twice. I can say dick. I can say dick a few times. Right. I'm good.
What was yours, Kim?
Mine was called Stolen Babies. How do you find someone that doesn't know they're missing? Mm. And that one was really powerful to me. It was, you know, babies that had been taken and they've been found, you know, that never knew that they were actually missing. So that one was pretty powerful for me. The people that they had on there, they were in the military in Texas and they had just had a baby. I think he was like 17 days old. And some lady, you know, came and wanted to sign them up for some sort of a program through the military and talked the mom and the child into going. The dad had something else that he was doing at the time. So they got into the car with her and they was going to sign up for this program. And the mom had to run and do, she had an errand that she needed to do too. So the lady stopped and said, you know, I'll stop, you know, and do it and or so you can do it. So she went to go run in someplace and she says, don't worry about the baby. And she took off.
Oh, wow. I've
not seen him since. And that's been 30 some years ago. Yeah.
Yes. I almost went to that one. But the worst part about Crime Con is just the time gets away from you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd go. I'd be like, OK, I have an hour. I'll go back to the table and then.
Then next you get to talking, like, to people.
Oh, crap, that thing's half over
now.
Yeah,
then you miss it. Yeah, that's happened to me. But some of the other ones that I went to, I did go to the Fox Hollow Farms one, the one that I covered a long time ago from the serial killer in Westfield. And they're up to 13 victims identified now. And they're continuing to, you know, to find out who those victims are. Those guys were really cool.
That's crazy.
It had the coroner there and another investigator. I can't remember what it was. And then the big news was the JonBenet Ramsey one. Have you heard anything about that one?
Mm.
I did this morning. I can't remember if I screenshotted it. They're
using
new DNA evidence.
They finally asked the CBI to get involved, and they gave some of the key evidence to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, and they have said that if they are not able to come up with anything, they will get Othram involved.
That's awesome.
Okay.
So I was very, very happy to see that. And I mean, this was my third one, and I've seen him speak just at every one of them, you know. But this is the first time that Burke was actually there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the brother.
Yeah, yeah. The brother. Yeah. And the security was so tight, they had a bomb-sniffing dog come through the room before he ever came out. Yeah, they had them there.
What luck.
Right, they had them there because of demonstrations and stuff, but they brought one of them over and went through that ballroom that it was in before they ever let him come out.
That's nuts.
Yeah, people are crazy.
It just, that has to be, you know, for a murder victim's family.
Yeah.
To have a bomb-sniffing dog before they are in a room with public people.
It's just insane. It's insane.
Well, there's still a lot of people that think that he and Burke are the ones that, like, the whole family killed them. And, I mean, really, to blame is the police from Boulder. Mm-hmm. Like, they released information that made them look guilty, even though it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just to sell papers or...
Yeah. Well, just because they wanted... First of all, the Colorado police for Boulder, the Boulder Police Department did not handle the scene as they should have. No, they did not close it off. They didn't do what they should have. So I think in order to not, like take blame for that. They just wanted to point the finger.
Right.
And then release information that would get the public and put pressure on the prosecutor to prosecute the parents.
Yeah. Look at them, not at us.
Yeah. Right. So they were just so like focused on prosecuting the parents that they would only look at evidence mm-hmm. that could fit that, even though that's not where the evidence led.
Think of how many things that wouldn't have happened if someone could have just admitted their failure mm-hmm. at something. Hey, I messed up. Sorry.
Yep.
We don't think it was the dad, the brother. We just screwed the pooch on this one.
Right.
Right. And then on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we did our live.
We did.
It was fun.
Was you guys nervous?
I look like I was nervous because I'm sitting on my hands, but that theater was so cold. And I was hot. I didn't want to wear my jacket because, you know, I was trying to look nice. So I was like, I'll be fine for an hour without a coat. But CrimeCon is cold in Denver.
Yeah, it was cold.
So I went to go reach for my water glass and I couldn't feel my hands because they were so, they wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh God, let me sit on my hands. And I was like, oh, I probably look like I'm nervous. So then I try to get comfortable on the arm, but the arms were.
They're real short.
Just a thin metal bar. So I'm like, sitting there trying oh, nope.
But yeah. I kept having to slouch down because the mic was evidently set up for a real short person. So it was real far down to my right.
See, mine was set for a higher. They had to come and adjust mine. The only thing that I didn't. I really wasn't too nervous about it until we started to go on stage and I seen how many people were there because I really did not expect that many people to be there.
On the third day at that early
Well, normally morning. Sunday is not very packed full of people compared to Saturday.
And so when I got up there, which helped me tremendously because you guys had asked me, you know, are you going to take your crochet up there? Because that's what I do. I sit here and talk and crochet. It's your emotional
support hooking.
Yeah. Once I got up there and I got that out, then I was good, you know, because I had my emotional support. But the only thing that I did not like about it is I could not hear. We're so used to having headphones and having everybody in our ear. They didn't have any kind of speaker that was aimed our way. Yeah. So everything that we were hearing was coming an echo. Yeah. And Cheryl's story, I don't know half of it because I couldn't hear it.
Yours, I could hear him and her on either side of me, but you, I was like, I hope that was a lie.
Yeah, it was hard for me to hear Cheryl's story too because what you're picking up from her is what's being thrown out to the audience, which isn't being faced towards us.
I kept, you know, I like to be friendly. So when someone's talking to me, I'm active listening, you know, make sure I have a friendly smile on my face. But when
you're
active listening to stories that have bits of funny and horrible crime in them, I realize I'd be sitting there smiling, active, friendly, and then she'd talk about the crime and I'd be like, after a few minutes, I'm like, oh, I'm sitting here still smiling.
Like when we're at Herbert Hoover's grave.
Disdain.
Is there a way they can fix that?
Turn your smile off?
No. Fix to where we can hear
Botox,
better.
Botox, honey.
I mean,
if they had a small speaker that was aimed our way.
The issue is they can't have it very loud because your mic's going to pick it up.
Yeah.
We'd have to have headphones on.
They can put a teleprompter on
there. Right.
That would work. At least I could read what was
Do
going on.
Do you have closed captions for real life?
Sometimes you can get little things that you can put in your ear. Hey, you give know, her singers those, use them.
Give her those smart glasses for next year if we get asked to do it again. She can turn on the closed captions on them and read the...
Hold on, let me catch up.
Yeah, hang on.
Have you talked to Elise?
Yeah.
Has she given you any numbers? Because I talked to her yesterday.
Numbers of...
On how it went, basically. She said she was going to look and see.
People
and
come up to our
know.
Table and tell us how much, you know.
How much they enjoyed it.
A lot of we've never heard of yet, which, I mean, there's so many podcasts. I never take offense to that. I'm like, you know, it's hard to listen to every podcast.
Right.
But that they enjoyed it. One lady said she woke, dragged her sister along because, you know, she was like, it's early, but it said it, you know, advertised some laughs. And she was like, you know, after all this weekend, you need some laughs. And she's like, I wasn't expecting it to be funny, but you had us cracking up.
That's
and
good.
It was nice to finish CrimeCon with you know, yeah. a light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they should have us do it every year. Right. I'll only one. Get better. That was just,
oh, yeah.
you know, the popping of the cherries always a little
it
messy.
It was there first. Josh yes. came first.
I haven't said that in decades.
I did like, before we went on, that lady was telling us like the rules and how it all will work.
Oh, yeah, the little short.
Yeah. And I was like, and then after her like 5-minute spiel, I was like, okay, now can you say that one more time, but stand up for me so I can hear you?
Speak
I
up
thought,
here.
I thought she was going to cut me at the knees.
I thought you knew her.
Oh, no, I didn't.
The way you were talking to her, I was like, oh, he must.
No, I assumed she could take a joke. But, you know, you never know until it lands.
We got our makeup done. That was so fun. Oh, that was so nice.
And it didn't help Kim much. The lady, I sat down, she goes, you have really nice skin. I won't need to do much for you. And I'm like, I know. I'm just here
I use
to
a bar
support
of soap.
Kim and Josh.
I just regretted. Use a bar of freaking soap and sink water.
I regretted doing it after I did it because makeup's always made my eyes run. And my I kept having tear run down my face.
It looked
because
nice
of makeup.
Though. It had
I had eyebrows.
You know, like natural looking, not the drag eyebrows I gave you. So that was nice, and it was so. I got my makeup done, and mine took the longest, which I was like, I even prepared my face like I was shaved. I had moisturizer and makeup primer on.
Oh, that's funny.
She's like. Just kept adding stuff. I'm like, God damn. I didn't think I needed this much. It was supposed to be a light touch up. And she's in there like, cake it. Like, bring me the scalpel.
Elise said that just so she knew some numbers on how, you know, how it went that she would let us
That's
know.
Fun.
I loved it. When I got done, I walked over to the table and we had switched tables from when I started. And I sat down and Shane had found a big old ginger bearded man in a blue suit just waiting for me. I was like, how perfect. My makeup's just done. Taught me how to, I have a very heavy hand when I do my makeup applications. I take that sponge and I'm like, pat, 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 pat. Like,
I really she's real light.
Getting it in the pores. I even told her that. I was like, oh, I got a heavy hand, but I'm doing drag makeup. I'm you know, slapping that clown makeup on there. She just like beep, 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 barely felt like she was touching.
Yeah.
It is amazing how fast it goes, though. We're so hyped up and so excited. Can't wait, you know, and it seems like set up, tear down. Yep. That's it. That doesn't seem like there's anything in between
it. She had the bluest eyes, our makeup artist. The makeup, she kept like, look at me. And I'm like, blue. I'm so jealous.
Right.
I hate having brown eyes. Although, have you guys ever done those like close-up pictures of your eyes?
Mm-mm.
It's really cool because from a distance, my eyes look dark brown. But I did one of those close-up pictures of your iris, and my eyes aren't dark brown. They're actually green and gold. Mm-hmm. Like when you it's not edited or anything. It's just a close-up of your eye. But yeah, they're like a dark hunter's, almost like. Basically camo colors. I was like, how butch.
I have a freckle on my eye.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Yeah. Every time I go to the doctor's office and, you know, do the eye exam, they'll say, oh, you have a freckle on your eye. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I've seen them at tourist places now. Yeah. Like when you're on vacation, you and your spouse can get a necklace with each other's iris, in the middle of it, or a wall hanging that has your irises next to each other, but it's just cool to see the
never
details.
Seen it before.
You know, you like from a distance, like, oh, your eyes look brown, but up close, my friend Brittany has the prettiest. She has like green eyes with like a really pretty teal blue in the center bits of gold that spread throughout them. I'm like, a goddess. A goddess. You can tell I miss her. Her birthday was last Sunday during our live. That I've not seen her yet. I'm like, I have to go maybe next weekend.
Right.
Give her her goodies. I got her a smut book at that bookstore for her birthday.
Well, we're at an hour and 20 minutes, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Well, hell.
Well.
That took a while.
Yeah.
Well, we had the rest of our trip, basically.
Yeah. Right.
Now what are we going to talk about on Unmasked?
Then we left CrimeCon, and the ride home was real quiet.
Oh, it was real, real quiet.
Real quiet.
But, I mean, that really played an advantage to us, really, because, you know, we didn't really sit and talk about everything that we had done or whatever.
Purposely, yeah. Every once in a while, we'd talk about something, like, current along our trip. Like, see that bathroom? My God, there was piss all over the floor.
Well, on Unmasked today, I will talk about one of the events that I went to. That was very odd. I didn't know what to expect, but it was actually pretty cool.
And I left an event at 10 in the morning because I couldn't handle it. More on Unmasked.
I don't think you told us what your favorite one was, did you?
No, I'll save it for Unmasked.
Okay.
Yeah. She don't listen.
No, she doesn't.
No, I didn't
listen.
Know that
paying
was
attention
your
to us,
no,
Kim.
I didn't know that was your favorite
you
one,
don't
too.
Listen.
This poor Kim, this is basically our whole trip.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't listen.
No, she doesn't.
So this is what we kept saying.
All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you on Unmasked.
Talk at you later.
Bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.